All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here, still pretty successful.
Happy New Year.
Yes.
Happy New Year.
We're back.
Back in the saddle.
New year, new us.
2026. Yeah. It's going to be our year.
Same us, actually. New year.
No, same you?
Same old. Yeah.
Patrick and I are both bringing new us's to the table. What are you doing?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm tired.
I'll share something. I'll share something with y'all that is probably going to get deleted. So.
Oh. Why? Are you? You're the one who deletes stuff.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what the boss here says.
Yeah. Oh, it's not me. It's yeah. David. Yeah.
Usually.
Fun sucker.
just so everyone knows, on our college mission trip, we stopped at a primate sanctuary and got to do some work there.
Oh, cool.
Which was really great. And
hold on. Primate sanctuary, do they like lead mass for you in this sanctuary? Or what's the situation here? Sanctuary is where you have church. All right, fine.
That was didn't work.
He said it was going to get cut anyway. It's fine.
No, we're going to leave it in.
We're keeping that. We're keeping that part. And I'm going to add even more silence.
and crickets in the background. Yeah. We actually had a cricket in the studio just for that joke. Right.
Well, they had the big monkeys, like, you know, spider monkeys, and they had little monkeys and one that whole little arrow there. And
sure.
The workers told us, like, oh, by the way, we can't go over to where the little monkeys are because some of the big monkeys have an airborne disease and we all have it and they can transfer there. So she's like,
so if we give it to the little monkeys, then yeah.
So the worker said, I have monkey herpes and now all y'all probably do too.
Monkey herpes.
So.
Wow. Sorry, are you okay. Should David and I be recording from the hall?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
What does monkey herpes do to humans?
Nothing. I mean, we looked it up afterwards.
Ostensibly, yeah.
Felt we should have led with that, just so we're clear.
Did you Nothing sign a waiver?
No. Well, what's funny is when we got there, I walked in and the woman who was in charge of us asked the group, did y'all sign the waiver? They all said yes. With full knowledge that they'd never even seen a waiver.
Did you like correct them and be like, no, none of you did?
And I was like, all right, fine.
Joke's on you. Now you have monkey herpes.
We're rolling with it. Yes.
That's why you should read the fine print.
Yeah. So that's the start of my year.
So the question here is, can we talk about monkey herpes? Yeah. Is that the?
Yeah. It's not human.
It's not. It wasn't inappropriate. Yeah.
I think it's fine.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's airborne, too.
It's airborne.
It's not the same.
Nothing inappropriate. Yeah.
Sure.
Airborne.
Sure. Yeah. There you go. So, was definitely a joke throughout the rest
sure.
of the trip.
Yeah. Yes. Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're just like walking patient zeros. Everywhere you go, you're just spreading it.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is correct. All right. Let's get to our news.
Oh, that wasn't our news.
No, I got two bits.
Oh,
a big news and a little news.
This is a new year.
What do you want to start with?
Let's start with the little news.
Oh, that's
little
guy.
Yeah, because it doesn't have monkey herpes yet.
Right.
Yes.
Maybe.
The munchkins. By the way, I did get to pet one of those munchkins, and then the guy was like, oh, wait, have you been by the big
ones, yeah.
And I said yes, and he's like, okay, you need to walk away.
Wow.
Like, but I still got to pet it.
What happens to the monkeys?
It's like a disease. They get like sick.
Oh, that's not good. I feel bad for them.
But okay, so all of the monkeys just have monkey herpes?
Oh, the big ones do.
But they're fine?
Yeah, it's fine for them, but if it gets to the little monkeys, the munchkins.
I'm going
to
be Googling symptoms of monkey herpes when I get home. I don't know about this.
You start scratching your head uncontrollably. Right. Right. Yeah. Picking fleas off of other people. Yeah. It actually slowly transforms you into a monkey.
Right.
That's
right.
So the internet's been talking about something.
There's a shocker.
There's a question.
Oh.
All right, a female, you know, boomer, middle-aged woman who complains a lot to management.
It's a Karen.
That's Karen. A Karen. They want to know.
I heard about this.
What's a man? What's the man version?
Of a Karen?
I've heard that it's David.
It's David.
Is it?
Which I think it's Dave. I don't think it's David. I think it's Dave. And Daves are different than Davids. I want to be very clear. I'm not a Dave.
But Dave is short for David, is it not?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not the point.
It's just that boomers go by Dave, not David.
I think people who do Karen-y things are Daves and not Davids.
Okay.
Sure. Whatever you want to tell yourself.
I will tell myself that.
Do you wanna,
I'll give him
Do
that
you
one.
Want to speak to the manager about this?
Yeah. I do not. I want to go on the record right here.
A little baby.
I'm going to go on my podcast. I don't need a manager. I have my own podcast to talk about it. It's fine.
What's worse, being a David or having monkey herpes?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been a David my entire life. I just now got that. So,
and y'all might have it now too. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, great.
All right, the other one is McDonald's.
Oh,
they're being sued
by Dave.
Probably.
For what?
It's about the McRib.
Uh oh.
Oh, are they not actually ribs?
I'm sure they're not. Did someone think that was?
Like, that's not.
There's
depressing.
No bone in that thing.
Right.
Yeah. The lawsuit is basically like that. Consumers would be reasonable to assume that the McRib has at the very least rib meat in it, and it does not.
What does it have in it?
It does have pork.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what rib meat, I mean, if you
shaped
get pork
into
ribs.
A ribbish shape.
Right.
All right. Yeah. It has, from lower value cuts, pork shoulder.
Okay.
Heart.
Oh. Yeah.
Tripe.
That's
not the part you want.
Stomach.
That's what the McRib is?
Yes. Ground up and molded into this patty.
That's real gross.
You know, yeah, I know. When you're reading, you're like, well, I hope it's the shoulder. You know, like,
right.
Listen, if you've eaten it and you've said it tasted good.
I haven't eaten it.
Well, then don't eat it now.
I thought I like ribs. Maybe I would get. I'm not a McDonald's fan.
I'm not going to get my ribs from McDonald's.
No, I mean, that's flying too close to the sun.
Right. Yeah. Like, I know my boundaries, right? If I want ribs, I'm going to get ribs. I expect there to be a bone in my ribs.
Right.
I don't expect to put my rib on a sandwich because there's a bone in it. Right. That's
sure.
not what it's for.
Sure. Yeah.
If I wanted a barbecue pork sandwich, then I'd probably go to a barbecue place.
Right.
I still am not going
McDonald's.
To McDonald's. Yeah. But I'm willing to accept, like, when I get chicken nuggets at McDonald's, those I'm not assuming that that's, like, all white meat chicken purity or whatever. Like, yeah, it's...
No, it is...
Ground up something.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's... So...
Hadn't killed me yet.
McDonald's has responded.
Oh.
Okay.
That it is made with 100% pork.
Yeah.
All parts of the pig.
Yeah. I don't think the lawsuit was suggesting it was not.
Right.
Based on, you know, this is what it's... this is what it is.
It's that it was ostensibly rib meat, not lips and buttholes.
Yeah.
I don't think either of those were on the thing.
Like, you know, stomach and tripe.
I mean.
Which are not those.
Similar.
Yeah. Tripe is intestine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the same thing with like some hot dogs is they're putting in the sphinctery bits, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have heard that there are some places that will try to pass off pork sphincter as calamari.
Oh, no. Oh, I love calamari.
There you go.
That's terrible news.
It's probably mostly urban legend, but I have heard that there are. Yeah.
I've also heard that there are places that take like stingray, like punch pieces out of like stingray.
They punch a stingray.
Well, like they hole punch like stingray wings
as it's swimming through the ocean.
To make calamari, like,
oh, no.
Because it's cheaper and easier to get.
Does the stingray keep, like, does the stingray live after
the
No, the stingray is dead.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
The stingray, yeah.
I was imagining,
I don't
like
that either because I don't like squids. They're
like
the wasps like of the holy, sea.
Or, yeah,
just
stingrays
like
with holes in there. Not holy, like blessed, but.
But riddled with holes. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's so sad, yeah.
Like I've been in a 1920s gangster. Fight.
Right. You're out snorkeling and a Swiss cheese shadow passes over you. It's the restaurant stingray.
All right. Well, is this going to stop you from eating the McRib, Patrick? Have you had a McRib?
I have eaten a McRib.
Oh.
I don't think I've
and
ever had one.
And he has monkey herpes, so it's, draw what conclusions you will.
It's fine. I mean, it's not a sandwich. I'm like, I know some people are like,
well, when it's out, you got to get it. Yeah.
Yeah. When the McRib is back, you know, like, and, but I don't care.
Yeah.
If I was going to McDonald's, probably a quarter pounder or nuggets would be what I would get. So, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, but there you go.
Or the McFlurry, except that those are often broken.
Yeah. They're,
Those also have pork tripe.
Right. Yeah. They're not actually ice cream. Yeah.
Our Oreo McFlurry is 100% pork. Yeah. What?
Sweetened, though.
Maybe you could jump in on the class action lawsuit and get $10 out of it.
I've got other things to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, how much do I have to worry about it to get in on the class action lawsuit?
I think you just have to sign up. You
right,
know.
Like, do I just put my name down and then I get a check?
And then they'll email you a gift card for $10.
For a McRib.
McDonald's gift card,
good for one McRib.
Right.
Aww. There you go. All right. We're kicking off we technically kicked off the year last year.
We did already. With our great Exorcist interview.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did so good.
We're kicking off the recording year
mm-hmm.
with Relevant.
Ooh.
Our friends over at Relevant.
Yeah.
They're making a strong presence in the new year.
Yeah, we're coming back. Yeah. Have we confused spiritual growth with self-improvement?
Oh, still yes.
Are we confused about spiritual growth? Probably. Yes. One, yes. Are we also confused about self-improvement?
Yes.
Yes.
No. This is by Annie Eisner.
Okay. Annie Eisner.
That sounds like a famous name.
Is Annie Oakley.
Well, that's not it. Eisner is
Michael Eisner. Michael Eisner, yeah, that's yes. It, yeah, that's yes.
Eisenhower.
That's different.
That's also Annie Oakley and what if Annie Oakley and Dwight D. Eisenhower had a baby?
That's right. You get Annie Eisner.
Yeah. I take that as a compliment.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm kind of pro both, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Annie Oakley, Annie Oakley.
Was she a real person?
Yeah.
Maybe. I thought she was just like a fictional character.
I don't know, maybe.
No.
No? She was...
I mean, I think there are a lot of legends attributed to Annie Oakley that are untrue in the same way that the Western
Davy
legends
Crockett.
At the time were all kind of untrue. But she was a real performer in Buffalo Bill's Traveling
circus
thing. Yeah.
Okay. And there you go.
And was she like a Larry the Cable Guy where like this was just a persona that she put on? Or was that like, was she actually Annie Oakley?
She was a sharpshooter.
Okay.
So she's a performer.
Yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure Eisenhower was a real person too.
Yeah. 90%. Not a persona.
90%.
We'll look it up later.
Yeah, it's fine.
That search history is going to be monkey herpes symptoms. Was Dwight D. Eisenhower real?
Is he the father of Michael Eisner?
Right. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. All right. You've got the journaling Bible with the pastel tabs.
I do not.
I don't. No. Well.
Do you have a journaling Bible?
No.
Me neither.
I do write in my Bible from time to time, but I don't have a journaling Bible.
Yeah. You have the morning playlist that transitions from Maverick City to a Lo-Fi Proverbs remix.
I don't even know what that means.
Who is doing this?
Devotional apps, the Christian Influencer podcast, the Habit Tracker, all these things, and you're crushing spiritual growth.
Wait a minute.
But maybe you're not.
Are we a Christian Influencer podcast?
I think, yeah.
Oh my
By
gosh.
Default.
Yeah.
I would say that we're more a Christian podcast and less an influencer podcast.
But I think we can claim it.
Heavier on the Christian and podcast, right. Lower on the influencer.
Probably heaviest on the podcast. Right.
I think we're solidly Christian.
Right.
I'm very comfortable with that.
In terms of advice, though.
That's fair.
But by definition of podcast, we are nailing it.
Nailing.
We do have.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
A podcast. All right, you're crushing spiritual growth,
mm-hmm.
Except maybe you're not.
Wow. What a downer in the new year.
Yeah, Annie.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, yeah. Annie, yeah. Because somewhere along the way, we stopped talking about how to become more like Jesus and started asking how to become the best versions of ourselves.
I'm down with that.
And the vibe shifted from pick up your cross to optimize your quiet time.
Mm.
Yeah, I do think that this is kind of an interesting question here. Like, right away, I do like this phrase, like, less like Jesus, more like the best version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And those are not the same thing.
Well, I think the best version of yourself could be more like Jesus, right? I think we're intended to be created to be more like Jesus.
Yeah.
I think our view of what the best version of ourself is wrong.
Yeah, I would say like if you are more like Jesus, you are becoming a better version of yourself.
Yes.
But
that is
the
not,
best version of yourself is not necessarily more like Jesus.
Correct. Yeah. What we think the best version of myself would be is not more like,
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of like kind of selfish self-actualization that usually goes along with like best version of ourself when we think of it, at least in the way that marketing has us think of it, right? Because all this new year, we're talking about I'm gonna be hotter, I'm gonna be, you know, thinner. Well,
you're in Texas, you're definitely gonna be hotter. Right. Not a problem.
Not temperature hot, like
looks
that
hot. One,
yeah.
I gave up on that a long time ago.
Or I'm gonna be richer, like I'm gonna like all this kind of stuff, which
is
fine. Like there's nothing inherently wrong with those things, but that's a very kind of selfish way to view optimizing yourself, right? Versus like to be more like Christ to me would be more selfless, right?
Agreed.
More concerned about the downtrodden and like all those things that is just not really entering the conversation normally when we talk about being a better version of ourselves.
Yeah, Jesus did not say to the disciples, hey, let's all start a 5-day workout routine and, you know, start counting our calories and make sure that we're, you know, getting the right glow. Like, that was not Jesus' message. And it's not that any of those things are inherently bad.
Yeah.
It's just it wasn't the message of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Jesus' message was follow me, serve the poor, care for the widow, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's tough because a lot of the characters in scripture mm-hmm. that we encounter, when they develop a deeper, stronger relationship with God, their lives don't necessarily get better.
Fully agree. Yeah.
like and in many ways they get, by human standards, worse.
Yep.
Yeah.
And substantially worse. And yet I think in terms of spiritual growth, they're getting better. You
Absolutely.
Know, like, and so I think that this is kind of this weird conflict here. If we think these are my goals in life, or this is what I want, and spiritual growth is a means to reach those goals, and I think that's easy to think, I think that you're going to fall into some pretty big traps here.
Yeah,
that you could be doing all this and actually getting, in some ways, further from Jesus than closer.
Yeah. I mean, I think Paul is a great example of this, right? I mean, Paul's going along, ostensibly, he's kind of like on the fast track within the religious hierarchy of the Jewish culture at the time, right? And he could be doing really well, could become a high priest someday, potentially, right? Mm-hmm. And then he has this encounter with Jesus, and suddenly he's a wandering tent maker who's often arrested, who's often kicked out of cities, who's like, you know, it's a who talks about having a thorn in his flesh that will not be removed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and all this stuff is, his reality does not become simpler because he follows Jesus, or better by the world standards because he follows Jesus. But he is definitely more connected and in tune with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit because of that switch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's going to do some quotes here from Barna.
Okay.
Our friends.
Those are the survey people.
Yeah. Our friends at Barna. Yeah. Why not?
70% of
not
church.
Not to be confused with our friends at Barney. They're different.
Or Barnes & Noble.
Or them, yeah.
Sure. Any others?
Yeah.
Eisenhower.
Yeah. He probably knew a guy named Barnum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barnum & Bailey.
There you go.
Oh, were those our friends?
No.
I don't know. Yeah.
P.T. Barnum is a monster. Right.
Yeah. Who's the guy who comes out with the animal crackers in the little circus box? Is that a Barnum thing?
That seems like P.T. Barnum,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, when people tell like me how much they love The Greatest Showman, I'm always like, so at what point in the movie does he beat an elephant to death?
Right. It's Hugh Jackman, okay?
Yeah. Because he's a terrible human being.
Yeah.
All right. According to Barnum, over 70%.
No, Barna. According to Barna.
That's what I said.
You said Barnum.
No, I said Barna. History will prove me right. Over 70% of churchgoers say their faith is very important to them.
Over 70% of people who are going to church accurately.
Right, we could, this, we
feels like we could phrase this differently.
Also,
only 70% of churchgoers. Right.
Also seems low.
Yeah.
Like, wait a second.
The wording is important here.
But only about 1 in 5 say they're actually growing.
Okay.
So of the 70% of churchgoers that say that their faith is important, 1 in 5 of that 70% says that they're actually growing.
Correct.
That's bleak.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree, but I think that speaks to the culture of church particularly within the last 7,500 years, where church became a social practice, right? And so if I went to church, then faith was ostensibly important to me.
Yeah.
And that was enough. And so it's really been within the last 30-ish years that there's kind of been that revival sense of, hey, faith is more than just showing up to church on Sunday. And I think for a lot of people, that's still a step that has not been taken or has not been taken seriously. Yeah,
I think this is kind of an interesting thing, because you would see kind of in our church or most churches out there, kind of an older crowd where church is still kind of the center of their community in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where they have their friendship groups. They have like it built into their mindset of like, what do? You give to the church and you serve. And so like for that crowd, like tithing is definitely built in. And when we think of like our front desk volunteers, they're all kind of in that demographic,
Sure.
You know, like that's a demographic that's easy to get kind of plugged in. And then when you're younger and you have children or you have a career, all these other things, it's much harder to kind of figure out how does spiritual growth work without it becoming a to-do list.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think that especially for kind of Instagram influencers is like, highlight the to-do list.
Yeah. The to-do list or the subscription model, right? Like, you know, how do you, it's $10 a month to be a better Christian.
Is this something we're trying out?
There are worse things.
Right. Maybe for the podcast, we could start selling packages.
What would be in our
top tier level package.
Oh, well, we could record some like motivational.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Yeah. New year, better you.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
Terrible advice.
Well, I mean, it's still us.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's not going to be good.
What's hard about that is we're actually going to have to start appealing to non-listeners.
Yeah.
Because listeners know.
Right.
Yeah, none of our listeners are going to think, I want more advice.
Yeah. It's like, I want less. That's yes. a thing. That's an idea. One of the tiers could be we will stop talking for $20 a month.
Yeah, we'll do less podcasting.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think that's you're welcome out of the world. Yes.
Right.
All right. She's quoting Dr. Alicia Britt Cole, author of Anonymous, Jesus Hidden Years and Years, where she says, we live in an achievement-obsessed culture, mm-hmm. and we've imported that mindset into our discipleship. We sure. want instant fruit and Instagrammable faith.
Can we just take a second to discuss how in the middle of this article about New Year, there's an advertisement about an Eat Like the Apostles diet?
Oh, you guys haven't seen the Eat Like the Apostles diet?
We have, but for it to show up in the middle of this is...
Well, where else are they going to put it?
It's got a printable meal plan.
Yeah.
Yes.
New Year, New You, Eat Like the Apostles.
They do not look like the Apostles.
There are actually two ads for Eat Like the Apostles. One is... 1950s family and church, and the other is a cartoon Jesus. The cartoon Jesus one is even better because it says, "Don't eat for pleasure, tame the plate."
Tame the plate.
Jiminy Christmas.
And I'm like, what? Why? What's wrong? With
I mean, all you
pleasure?
Have to do, to, all you have to do, to eat like the apostles is basically eat kosher because
that's how they ate.
Except for Paul, that's probably what they ate.
So. I've heard wine showed up a lot. In
sure,
the
there you go.
Diet,
sure.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. I don't know if that's one of the 12 ingredients.
Yeah. 12 ingredients.
Just yeah, I'm here it is. Don't eat for pleasure, tame the plate with cartoon Jesus.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
40 days, 12 ingredients, one transformation.
Will they sell ad space to anybody on Relevant?
Yeah,
maybe
for sure.
For
like,
us?
Could we, I don't know.
Get it beyond Sunday ad.
Yeah.
All right, so we're
what were we talking about?
New Year, better you.
Somebody Britt Cole had an improvement.
Yeah, we live in an achievement-obsessed culture.
That's it. Yeah.
And we've imported that mindset into our discipleship. We want that instant fruit and Instagrammable faith.
Right.
And I think this is true. I think this is the idea. Like, I know, like, when I was driving a different way to work, I would always pass one church, and I always had, like, top, you know, five things to a healthy marriage kind of a thing. And I'm like, this is not how marriage actually works. It's like not, it can never be simplified to a checklist that's about as long as making instant mac and cheese. Like if you think that is that the path, I think you're going to leave disappointed. And you might do a lot of work, but I don't think that that's the way it's supposed to work. Or if growing in Christ is reduced to a top 10 list, I think we're missing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess the question is now like, well, what should it be? Right. Like, and I think this is a better question. Like, so what should spiritual growth look like?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are ways in which lists can be helpful if you're someone who needs kind of that step by step of like, okay, I am not praying on a regular basis. So maybe I need to have a list that reminds me to pray. Right. Because I think prayer is good. Right. Or I have found that my prayer life is always about me. Maybe I need a list that reminds me to pray for other people. OK, I think that's really good. So I don't think that lists in itself are bad. Mm-hmm. I think that saying like, oh, I've mastered this list and now now I have grown in my spirituality. That's missing the point, too. Right. So, yeah, what can we do? We can engage in prayer. We can engage in reading scripture. We can be actively involved in a faith community. We can be, I don't know, not less sure of ourselves and convinced that we're right all the time and more open to new ideas. We can, I don't know, do we want to keep going? I can.
Sure. I mean, when we sell this, we need a tagline.
Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of ways in which we can grow spiritually. It cannot be reduced to a checklist, and it shouldn't be about improving myself. I think this gets back to what we are at the beginning. Your goal for growing spiritually should be, how do I better understand the heart of Jesus and how do I better live that out on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah.
Right? And does that mean that I'm kinder to my kids in the morning, right? Maybe it means that I'm less concerned with rushing my kids out the door every morning than I am with making sure that I'm a loving presence for them in the morning. Like, maybe that's the thing that puts you closer to the heart of Jesus. Or maybe it's, I'm going to have more patience for other drivers on the highway, because that puts me closer to Jesus. I don't know what that thing is, but like our thought process should be, how am I closer to the heart of Jesus? Not how am I improving myself?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I think, so she's going to reference Paul's description of fruit as spiritual.
Oh,
growth.
Sure. Yeah.
The fruits of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
I will, on behalf of one listener that I know we have who will correct this, it is fruit of the, it is singular fruit of the spirit.
That's what I said.
No, you said fruits. Which
I think time will tell.
Again. But it's one, they're all part of one fruit.
Yeah. That is great. And because yeah. I do, yeah, I want that. You might be more naturally patient
right.
or naturally joyful, but all of them
right.
should be existing in
exactly.
harmony together. Yeah. But how do we grow these things in our own lives is much more difficult.
Yeah.
Like it's hustling into gentleness is harder. Checklists into a joy is harder.
Yeah.
And but I think people are asking, I think, reasonable questions. Well, how do I get there then?
Yeah.
How do I become more joyful? How do I become more patient? These are good questions. And I think, one, like a fruit, you know, tending a soil by laying groundwork of prayer, of reading, of engagement in community is all there.
Yep.
And also an understanding, like, it's going to be a slow process.
Yeah.
That it's not easily definable or easily checklistable, where it's like, well, I did all these things this week, therefore I am more loving today.
Yeah.
It might be a mm-hmm. long time before you actually become more loving.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a challenge for many of us, because you might not see the fruits of your effort immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, it's probably easier to get a checklist to like train to run a marathon or
yeah.
something like that than it is to like say, oh, well, how am I going to be more loving of my neighbor that drives me insane? Or, you know, or like,
yeah,
that's a harder place to go.
I think so. We use checklists for everything in aviation, right? And
oh, sure.
I was talking to a friend about this recently. She's writing a scene that is an aviation scene, and she wanted to get the checklist right and stuff. So we're talking about this. But like checklists, the reason for a checklist is to help you avoid doing the stupid thing, right?
Sure.
Like, is really the reason why you have a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to fly the plane
mm-hmm.
in the interim, right? Like,
yeah.
the checklist is not the work itself. The checklist is the fail-safe to make sure that you do the work itself.
Yeah.
And in the right order. So I think checklists, when you talk about spiritual growth, a checklist can be helpful to make sure that you are remembering things
yeah,
that
sure.
are helpful to you, but that's
mm-hmm,
never
mm-hmm.
going to be the work itself, right?
Yeah.
Like the spiritual growth is always going to happen outside of whatever that checklist looks like for you. And also, I tend to think that relationships are as diverse as the people that are in them, and that includes your relationship with God. That's unique to you. And so what works for somebody else for spiritual growth might not be the same thing that works for
well,
you.
Well, that's not going to sell.
It's not going to sell.
It's not. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like we mentioned kind of at the top, like just about every biblical character, when they have a profound encounter with God, their lives get worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From our outside looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think like if we're like, I want to grow deeper with Jesus and become more like Jesus, to take up my cross and follow him, it's not going to end with greater worldly success and influence and wealth.
Yeah,
and
that's
those
prosperity gospel,
those
and
types
not,
of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In many ways, it's like if those are my dreams and I'm wanting Jesus to be a part of that, Jesus might be saying like, "You're gonna have to change those dreams.
Yeah.
Like those dreams are gonna have mm-hmm. to get in some ways worse."
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think that means like, "Woe is us, look at us Christians over here." But I think it means like it's complete shift from an earthly mindset into something bigger or more beautiful, but that's going to be a painful process to
yeah.
shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it might mean if what matters most is making more money to provide for your family, and when you shift into Jesus and that shifts, it might mean your family has less stuff.
Yep.
You don't go on vacation as often.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is smaller. You don't get a new car. And those all can be hard things you go through as
sure.
you get closer to Jesus.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, she's got a list.
All right.
Oh.
Love that.
Okay.
So we got four things on this list.
Okay.
All right. We'll see.
This is four things to grow your spiritual health or spiritual whatever.
Yeah. Actual spiritual growth.
Okay.
That's what we're going to say.
I'm skeptical.
Me
let's,
too.
Let's see, yeah.
Me
let's
too.
See what,
well, we'll see.
Let's see what Annie Eisenhower has for us.
Eisner. Read slower.
Read slower.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to need more information.
Not to finish, but to be formed. Rereading the same psalm for a week will do more for your soul than flying through a 90-day Bible plan you forget by lunch.
I think that's fair. I think it's, if you're like, I think there is benefit to reading the entire Bible. I think there is a purpose for that. I think if you're looking for spiritual depth, sitting with passages for an extended period of time is really valuable.
Sure.
There's the Bible Project, which is another podcast that we've referenced before. They'll often refer to saying like, oh, this is a passage that you need to drink a cup of tea and take a walk. Like that. Like the idea is just to sit with it for a long period of time. Yeah.
I agree. I think if you're like, I want to get connected to Jesus, I want to know more, I think reading the Gospels in a year might be more helpful to your spiritual growth than reading the Bible in a year.
Sure.
Because that's just a massive undertaking. And also, once you get behind, you'll never catch up because it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But reading the Gospels in a year is much more manageable, and also diving into the heart of God, and then you can grow from there.
Yeah.
All right. So be smooth. All right. Be still.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or not. Like, what if you're somebody who thinks better when you're moving, like on a walk?
Yeah, but be still does not have to mean physical stillness, right? Be still means make space in your life specifically for God.
Okay.
Right?
So, well, we could phrase it differently than be still.
Well, sure, we could. But this is something that I've done because I'm someone who, like, thinks while I run and things like that. And so,
too.
Like, I've done a lot of work to say, like, okay, how do I make space in my run, not to try to accomplish something, right? Mm-hmm. But to make space in my run just to be present in the run, right? How am I just present in that moment as opposed to using this as a means to an end of, oh, now I've accomplished it. So now it's worth it because I accomplished something. And I think that's often what we do with, our prayer time or our time of reading scripture, or we're like, we come into it saying, okay, I'm going to accomplish this thing. And then we get to the end and we feel like we have to justify the time that we spent there rather than just letting ourselves spend time in the presence of God. Right. Mm-hmm. And that could be dinner with my family. Right. Like, I'm just going to be fully present, spending time, having dinner with my family. And that's going to be valuable enough because God is going to be present in that space. I'm not going to have to justify why I spent this time here. Right. I'm just going to be present. Like, that's how I have come to think about being still.
I like that.
So I don't have another phrase for that. But
that it might feel, if you look back, like, was that worthless?
Yeah.
Because I found no outcomes that were aided productivity or even peace of mind, and may feel like that way until it's not.
Yeah.
And it may never actually.
Yeah. Because at the same time, like, you could be still and watch Netflix for 2 hours and that would not be accomplishing the same thing. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
So you could be moving and be far more productive in this realm than you could be by actually being still. Yeah.
There, I've referenced this book before. It's been a long time, but there's this book written by like a 16th century Byzantine monk, called The Practice of the Presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point in time, this idea that you could find God in the rhythm of your life was different, right?
Yep.
Not what was being kind of talked about at that time. But I just found it to be kind of an interesting way to approach connecting with the divine, because I came from, at that point in time, I was coming from a Southern Baptist college, which is very heavy on the, like, quiet time language and the checklists and the sort of the formality around spiritual growth that I was kind of wholeheartedly rejecting at that point in time, still mostly today, but definitely at that point in time. And so that was a kind of a welcome departure from that for me, thinking. So anyway, everybody should read it. It's little.
Okay.
It's easier than reading the Gospels in a year. Just saying.
Wow. Throwing down on the Gospels.
Hey. Mark is pretty short. It's like 16 chapters. All right. Get uncomfortable.
So I would rephrase it to say you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
I'm usually uncomfortable.
Oh, then you're already there. Well done.
I'm so spiritual.
I think this takes us back to what it really means to follow the heart of Jesus, that it's not going to make life easier. And
Yeah, I think this is probably for me an acknowledgement that there's definitely times and places where we're faking it and like acknowledging, like, one, that can be okay. Sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. But two, an acknowledgement of like, I don't want to fake it. I want to actually be real in this place. So how do I get there? And that might require a bit of uncomfortability.
Yeah,
I think the closer I get to Jesus, I'm not necessarily a better person, but I'm in some ways more aware of how much I need Jesus, which is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Especially when the lists say, if you're closer to Jesus, you should be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, I don't actually feel all that much better, but I'm more aware of how much I need Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I think that is an uncomfortable feeling. And I think that's part of it. All right. And finally, find people.
Find a people?
Yeah.
Find people.
Find people.
Like, where's Waldo?
Yeah. Which people?
I mean, I'm guessing the essence here is find community, right?
Correct.
You don't need to do this alone. I certainly think that that's valuable. I think that's why I continue to advocate for people being a part of a church and a local faith community. And
It's probably why we're still doing this podcast.
Because we found people?
That's because we show up and we talk to each other once a week.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
If we hated it, we would have stopped doing it by now.
That's true.
Sure.
That's if we hated one another, we certainly would have.
Yeah. Oof. And we're not getting paid for it.
That brings me to an announcement.
Yeah. In light of that.
New year, no more podcasts. Yeah. That's right.
Eat Like the Apostles, not on the list. 12 ingredients.
Bummer.
I am kind of curious what the 12 ingredients are.
I know.
Look at it after
olives.
The
podcast.
Can we finish this first?
And then fish and bread, for sure.
Olives, fish, bread, wine.
Yeah.
Seems plausible. That's four. Congratulations.
Right. olive oil.
Is that different from olives?
Feta cheese.
I don't think that's the same.
That is, Mediterranean.
I'm saying, yeah.
All right, any other thoughts?
Probably some goat.
Oh, gosh.
You're going to get ads forever. Are you a holy man or a holy woman?
That holy man is jacked. Yes. Oh, my gosh. He's bulky.
All right. I'm going to end the podcast here. Patrick can keep looking at his thing. If you enjoyed this first recorded episode of the new year, you can find all our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com and send us an email, beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.
This is surprisingly difficult to get this information.
Okay, well, let somebody else look it up.
I just deleted it. All right. All right, yeah. We'll be back next week. Bye.
Elise already did that.